lies make baby Jesus cry? Lying to a child.
Partly why? Lying is a sign that your kid is super intelligent.
That's what the parents of lying children say.
And apparently
he's very smart, as in cunning.
And sometimes it shows that they're very comfortable with their parents and just pushing boundaries, seeing how far they can take.
They
the
said
trust
about Lance Armstrong.
I'm just trying to.
Bernie Madoff.
Just brilliant trying to bring the positives here. Yeah.
Why do kids lie, Tina? It's such a huge problem. You're very welcome, of course, to Honey, You're Reading Our Kid. Hope your week is going well. It's
better
a Monday
than ours.
Morning. And we are coffeed up to the teeth. And the first thought I had was just how and why do they lie? Because it seems that it kind of goes on, like pushing the boundaries, pushing the envelope of truth, bending the truth. Is it the Trumpian world they've been raised in?
I've said this a few times to you. I really don't think these leaders we have at the moment worldwide who are happy, like Boris. Growing up with Boris was really bad for our kids. He was blatant about lying. Mm. And our kids all took that in. Like the guy in charge.
He would laugh it off. Of course, at the time, I felt that was appropriate.
And just making that kind of, I'm kind of about to talk
got
noise.
Got away with it. Every time.
Like, he lied barefaced to the public.
Yeah.
Again and again.
He broke the rules during the pandemic and rules that our little kids had to follow.
Yeah.
Like, really strictly. And then
but
the
do you
guy
think they're watching the news?
I think they're taking it in. I think kids take in a lot of stuff. I don't
Surely
think they're
there
tuning
was lying
in.
Before Boris Johnson.
Yeah, but I think it made it very, like, it's okay. It legitimized it. Like, Trump and all these leaders. Like, they're seeing a lot of them. Mm. Like, the whole world is governed.
Well, look, we're in the post-truth era, they say.
Yeah.
And definitely there is a bending of the truth in terms of your images,
We've had one leader of late who has stepped down graciously, and that was Nicola Sturgeon in Scotland. And that was heartbreaking because she's fucking amazing.
Yeah, you loved her.
But her husband had got up to some shite and she
the
fell
husband.
On her sword and did the respectable thing, politicians.
As opposed to Leo, who just wanted to let people know if there is a scandal coming. I'm not saying that there is, but if there is, I didn't do it. Whatever it is.
I know, but did you see the footage of Leo sitting on the boxes with his boyfriend?
People are horrible
to him. His husband.
People
I don't know if they're
horrible
married.
Horrible to the man.
But that made me feel so
he
sorry
doesn't
for him.
Deserve it. And definitely
he's just
there's a big
eating
discussion
an ice cream.
Here. If you're not in Ireland at the moment, there's a big discussion at the moment about the treatment of public representatives.
Like, I've never felt sorry for Leo in my whole life. I watched that video and I thought, oh my God, that's horrific. Mm. He's just sitting on a box.
Mind his own business.
Outside a shop.
Yeah.
On a date, maybe, with his partner. And they're getting abuse.
Getting abuse, yeah. And it seems to be par for the course. People
it's
seem
horrible.
To think that it's fair game, but it's not.
No, I really, that made me feel sorry for him. So stop making me feel sorry for politicians, guys.
The funniest kid caught in a lie moment I've ever had was actually at Tina's Montessori school.
Oh, yeah.
Horizons Montessori. Shout out to Horizons.
I love Horizons. Still going, still the best.
I was brought in to draw a giant mural of Bob the Builder.
Yeah.
Something I can do. Those services are available. Just go to the website and make a booking. And I'm in there.
I really put you to work when
you really
I was
did.
There.
So, but I loved it. Because what happens when you're drawing for kids, if you haven't done this already, they zone out and go into like a trance-like state as they watch it.
Very calm. They love it.
It's amazing.
They love it. Well, it's like they're seeing magic happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one kid, blondie-haired kid.
Gorgeous. Who's a full grown-up now.
Full grown-up now. Says, while I'm drawing Bob the Builder, he goes, I used to draw Bob the Builder every day when I was on my holidays. And his brother leaned in and went, no, you didn't. That's not true. And he looked up at all of us.
Whole circle
me.
Of Whole kids. Circle. 8, 3, 2, 6.
Yeah, those were lies.
God, I loved that
but
child.
I loved it because he was like, yes, in fact, that was not a truth. I just completely owned it immediately in the moment.
But children can police each other so well. It's the grown-ups who can't really get through to the kids about lying, you know? Yeah,
but how many times do you say as a parent, where is he getting this from? Where is he seeing this? I'm not lying to him.
Yeah, we're all lying. But you are. Half-truths. Yeah. Little half-truths.
Well, yeah, you're kind of... Well, you've got to be economical with the truth as well.
Yeah, it's so hard.
It's for their own self-protection. But I think that when they first realize they can lie... I remember watching movies, like Michael J. Fox movies. And going, oh, even Beverly Hills Cop, I was like, he just totally lied. Got away with it. You can do that.
I don't know. It's so hard to get the messaging because I was terrified. I was completely convinced.
You're going
they
to
know.
Hell.
And I, oh, well, I've said this before in the podcast. I got caught in a lie. And that was a big lesson to me. 7-year-old Tina got caught in a massive lie.
Oh.
You know, oh, I did it again. You know this, Charlotte. When I lived in England, in Northampton, and I started school there, I told my teacher, I can't really keep, you know, it's going to be tricky for me. I am obviously a Gaelgor.
You said Irish is my first language. Irish is my 7-year-old.
A 7-year-old.
To a teacher.
Who just made their Holy Communion. I moved to England the night after my Holy Communion.
Oh my gosh.
So I knew lies were wrong.
But what a cash in your pocket. You thought you were invincible.
Chance my arm.
Lady, get off my case. English is my second language.
She was from Ireland. She started speaking to me in Irish. I was caught not only in a lie, but the look on her face when she was like, you little fucking liar.
You're full of shit.
Yeah. And that.
Because she was probably delighted. Can you imagine if you met
yeah.
an Irish kid in St. Albans? Like, I'm sorry, but Irish is my first language. You'd be like, "Can I sit down?" And the kid's like,
I had the basics. But yeah, it was awful. And I never lied. I just thought, it's not worth it. I never want to see that look.
Show me a fair few lies the first time I met you. Hey, Tina and Jar, I love your show. This emailer says, honey, you're ruining our kid at gmail.com is the place to send your emails. Completely anonymous. Send it in and we will never reveal who you are. So you can say whatever you want about whomever you want.
And I know it's a ridiculous email. The amount of people who said, I spelled it wrong the first time.
Yeah, I know. We need to change it up.
What was I thinking?
Let's change it up. Maybe it should be Tina Help Me.
Or just the initials.
Yeah. Hi, Rock. Tina Jar, I was at your show in Glasgow. Shout out to the most mental afternoon shows that ever took place.
They were amazing.
We did shows at 2 and 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And I don't know, Glasgow people love drinking in the afternoon. I was relating heavily to his kids and babysitting bit. That is one of my favorite bits of the show. My parents look after my 3-year-old one day a week while I'm at work. Which I appreciate so much. And you always have to say that, which I am so appreciative of. And I recognize that that is a big thing that they're doing for me. And it is. They want him to have a sleepover on the weekend, which would be great for me too. They both drink alcohol every weekend. Mm. My dad through the week too. I mean, you're explaining something to Irish people that we would just regard as totally normal. But I know where this is going. It's just... been normal to me forever. How do I bring it up with them that I don't want them to drink while they're looking after my 3-year-old? This is a great email.
Yeah.
Especially a sleepover. I don't know why or how. I don't know what to do. I appreciate that it is a tricky question to answer. I thank you for your time. I think it's a brilliant question because you can be guaranteed loads of people are having this you can't quite tell your parents. And by the way,
no,
you know,
this is really
one
hard.
Of them needs to be able to drive to the hospital. That's my angle on this, Tina.
Yeah,
that like you need to say, lads, if there is an emergency, which of you is going to drive to the hospital, and kind of do it in a jokey way. That would be my suggestion.
Yeah, I also, maybe I'm just really naive, but I really think they probably won't drink when they're minding him.
Oh no, you're absolutely wrong on that.
Really?
Absolutely. I think that it's lovely that you would think they wouldn't, but if what she's describing is this is their normality.
Okay.
And, you know, they're like, they did this when they were parents too. She's telling us they do it.
Right.
Like, you know, we all have had situations where you're sending a kid over to a house and you know, oh, they're really into whatever it is, rock climbing. Like, can we just not climb any rocks this this weekend while my kid's there? I know that yours is going to be the kid who hasn't got the experience when they're doing the family activity that they regard as absolutely normal. Abseiling down a rock face. It's out of your hands now.
Mm.
But also there's the gratitude mixed up in this, isn't there? That she's so abundantly grateful to.
Yes, right? And she doesn't want to rock the boat.
She doesn't want to rock the boat and sound ungrateful by going, I get that you're doing this for me. Here's what I need.
This one's got me really flummoxed because it's not really a child question. It's more advice, isn't it? It's more like,
how
do I approach my parents? First of all, I would just be too afraid to. I'd be like, I don't know what to do.
Find an article and WhatsApp it to them about two grandparents that got in massive trouble.
I guess your suggestion is the best one. To say to them, absolutely, this is such a great idea. I'd love this. Which one of you would be the designated driver if something happens?
There won't. Nothing is going to happen. I think I, as a grandparent, I would be like that. I'd be like, come on. You know, I know more about raising kids than you.
Yeah, but
and that's that.
I, as a grandparent, I just would be like, well, I'm not going to drink alcohol when I'm minding my little guy.
Well, here's the thing. It's like there's an acceptability with having a couple of drinks and looking after a child among a certain generation.
Okay.
That on the one hand, we may need to just accept. We may need to just accept. Like, I always say drop the rope when it comes to an older generation. I just think you're not going to change them.
No, you can't.
You're not going to change
them. They're pushing, not, she's right. Pushing at them will just make them dig the heels in and maybe they won't be as happy to mind him every week.
Yeah. Or do it sneakily. Tell you they weren't drinking and they were.
Yeah.
I think probably the other option here is to have a plan in place.
Oh, I know. You can tell them that he wakes a lot during the night. There's no way they can have drinks if he's doing that. One of them has to be on the ball.
They're just still going to do it. Yeah, they're still going to do it. And they'll be like, he doesn't wake when he's with us.
Mm.
You're like, that's because you don't hear him. I'm just saying they will have every answer in the book. I would go with have a plan in place. Have someone check in. I think that's what you have to do. If you're that concerned, have someone check in. Or if there is an emergency and they get in touch, you need to have the backup. The person who's going to call over and drive him to the hospital should something take place.
That's a good idea.
This is a tough one because I'm massively appreciative to your parents for taking care of our son when we're away. And we travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'll never be able to express my gratitude for that. I'll just never be able to put into words
like her, how appreciative. She just knows her kid is safe with somebody who loves them.
Yeah. So, you know, when it comes to the sleepover, I think that, yeah, you need an extra layer of security.
Mm.
And that layer of security needs to be your friend Paula, who you really trust. You say, listen, he's having a sleepover with the grandparents. I know they always have a couple of cans. Would it be okay that if the bloody thing kicks off, if something happens, that I give you a shout?
That's a really good idea. And also, a lot of grandparents will never offer.
Ever.
There's a lot of people out there who have very disinterested grandparents.
Yeah. Or used to offer and won't do it again.
And also, if it doesn't go well, you can just the next time be like, brilliant idea, let's plan that. 3.
3, yeah, right. That's tough because you can't go, give me a debrief.
You can, with a 3-year-old.
Can you?
Definitely. Sit them down on the ground with their toys and ask them loads of questions.
Yeah, yeah. Or start drawing Bob the Builder. And it's amazing what they'll do side by side with you
when you're drawing. They'll tell everything. You can ask them anything. You just have to be careful. You know, a lot of it could be embellished.
Mm, yeah, those were lies.
I love that kid. I wonder what he's doing now. I'm trying to count. That is...
Well, we got an email from one of your ex-students.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to Boston to do the show in Boston. 3 shows in Boston in October, November, I don't know. And this kid got in touch. He's a grown man. He's going to University of Massachusetts. And he gets in touch with Tina, used to be my teacher.
Yeah, is Tina coming?
Tina, come and say hello to me.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, that's so amazing. And it made me feel so old.
Here's the other question on this, right, Tina?
Yeah.
That, like, There's a lot bound up in this because she wants to continue to be able to let the kids stay with them.
Yes.
But in reality, if this is going to be, if the drinking is going to be excessive, you may need to rethink that.
I think she's going to, like, she doesn't have to rush into this, but maybe she just really needs a night herself, you know?
Yeah, if you were uncomfortable with it to the level where you were emailing a podcast.
Yeah, I know.
With a comedian. And I'm not judging anybody who emails the show because Tina's the one with the info here and she's seen it all and done it all. But maybe your answer is in your question. That if you are this concerned, don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Like you're always talking about your intuition, your gut. Follow your gut.
Or maybe do a few sleepovers with him. Mm. You know, maybe you and your kid have a few sleepovers there.
Not really a sleepover then.
No, and then it's hard because then the kid gets used to you being there and then when you're not there, it's a big deal. I really don't know. I just worry for her because I know that you need that support and you don't want to rock it. Mm. And I feel really bad for her that she's in this situation. I really liked your idea of having the backup and
the extra layer of security.
Yeah, and seeing how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's very tough.
But like I do think that you don't want to get into this with them.
I really feel like they might surprise her.
Mm.
He's only three. Like, they're not idiots. They'll enjoy having a drink, but they're not idiots. They have to be on the ball.
They also might think you're over the top. Mm. Like a lot of people of that generation. You think we're all helicopter parents, when in reality we kind of see a little more danger than they did back in the day. And probably,
well, there's definitely fewer kids with crutches.
There are.
And casts. I mean, everyone had one.
Yeah, I'd love to hear what she comes back with on this because there's loads of people in the same bind. Well, look, let's take it out of the family context. I know you can take it out of the family context, but let's take it out of the family context. If you had a babysitter and you found out they were drinking while they were taking care of your child,
you'd go bananas.
It's over. Yeah. Good luck. Never delete that number.
Our babysitter used to go to sleep.
I mean, why is there a different standard here?
Because
if your parents and you know they're going to drink when the kid's there and that is a risk.
Ooh, maybe she has a sibling who could just, by coincidence, be staying in the house at night.
Maybe. Maybe that's not a bad idea.
There's an aunt or uncle there.
That is not a bad idea. Yeah. But now you've got three people to feel guilty about imposing upon.
Yeah.
It's a very tricky one, but I'd love to hear which of those suggestions you go with. And if you're listening to this and you go, I know exactly what you do here. You pour all the drink down the sink. I've been reading about kids lying. And,
you have?
Yeah. Since we recorded question number one, I've done so much research in the meantime, Tina, you wouldn't believe. I mean, I guess a question of lying does come down to the age group at which they're lying, because three-year-olds are going to be like, I'm going to try to lie now.
I don't think they even know they're doing it. They're just kind of
at three.
Messing around. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're definitely not doing it to be mean or to tell an elaborate thing. You know, they're just talking.
Yeah. Just making sounds.
Just making stuff up.
Yeah.
But not like.
And sometimes they're quite cute, the lies. Remember?
So cute.
The particular car chase that was happening behind our car. The two toddlers looking out the back window going, is the car chase big deal? A Garda car passed. It's a whole car chase going on back there. And the two of them in on the lie together. Oh my God.
And it got elaborated upon so much.
They did a full 30 minutes.
I kept having to remind myself that that didn't happen.
That didn't happen, yeah. But you even got an Instagram message just moments ago from somebody going, how do we get my kid to stop lying?
Yeah. And I was like, I need more info.
Well, most of the info on this says that it's around focusing the discussion on the value of honesty and having conversations about, and you know how that happened? It's because they were honest.
Really?
It was because they had the courage to tell the truth that resulted in X, Y, and Z. You need your examples, and there's thousands of examples.
Yeah, but it's so hard with kids because sometimes I feel like when you, that sounds really damning. It's so hard with these kids.
If it was easy, everyone's doing it. Everyone is doing it. That's not easy.
Because sometimes I feel like our line on it has always been, you are free. The truth will set you free.
And it's light as a feather.
Light as a feather. Yeah. Whereas a lie takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
And you can never really remember your lie accurately.
Relax.
You cannot relax. Whereas even if it's the worst thing ever, you tell the truth, the person's always going to be like, well, well done telling the truth.
When your kid's a bit older, they say, according to the stuff I'm reading, the punishment needs to be loss of privileges.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't really like punishments.
You can Google how to make your kid stop lying, and 99% of them will say that past the age of 13, it has to be, you told a lie, you're losing screen time, you're losing this. But as you say, it has to be a warning before that.
Yeah, but I really think the most effective way to stop a child lying is, like I was saying, they need to get caught in the lie.
Mm.
And that shame that I still feel, that is the reason you won't go towards the lie the next time.
Isn't some of it, though, just attention-seeking behavior?
I don't know. Sometimes,
and is there an argument for letting nature take its course? Like, as in, I know you're lying, but let's just see how this plays out.
Well, I mean, sometimes you do have to judge it on the child. Every child is so different, and maybe some children are doing it for attention. Other kids kind of believe their own shit.
Because they say that people that go on to later in life, and this is always the worry, and this is what began Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid, was, how do I stop my kid from growing up to be a gobshite? That was the whole concern is, oh my God, I've raised a liar. I have a liar, dishonest child, and that's it. I'm stuck with them. The person that goes on to be a compulsive liar, they say, is somebody who hasn't received enough support as a kid or has gone through trauma that way.
You're joking.
Yeah. That person is seeking validation and concocting things to get approval from elsewhere. They could also just be comedians in general, just making up bullshit stories and telling them on stage. But, you know, we've all met liars. We've all worked with people where it's like, that's just made up.
But it's awful. It's always like,
that it's traced back to trauma.
I always think, yeah, well, that is awful. But I always think, how do you think I don't know you're lying?
Well, this is always my thing with con artists. And I think Mikey, our son, was obsessed with, you know, people pulling off scams and stuff.
Yeah, which is so reassuring when you're the parent of that kind of child. Or, well, like,
we always said
amazing
to him about it was that the scam artist's black spot is that they think everyone else is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming lack of intelligence on other people is what will result in your kid being a liar if they assume everyone else is and that I'll get away with this. People know. People figure it out. What do you do if your kid is causing havoc in the house, aside from lying? That's what our next email is about. I need your advice, Tina and Jar. My 21-month-old wreaks havoc on the house. He demands to be breastfed 24/7.
Mans, he can barely talk.
Yes, multiple feedings, even at night, and refuses food except for a couple of bites here and there throughout the day. He does not play independently and demands constant attention. Hey, you, play with me. That kind of stuff. Yeah. What can I do to get him to play independently, have less breast milk, and eat more food, regular food? Or am I expecting too much for this age? He has tantrums. He hits others and himself when he doesn't get his way. I am at a loss. I really need your help. So sorry for being silly during that, but like, that does sound like a lot.
We're talking about a child who's 1 year. So sorry.
Nearly 2 years old.
Yeah, 1 year, 9 months old. And
learning the world.
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel so sorry for this mom. She's obviously exhausted. What should we tell her to do? I think, well, he should have been introduced, obviously, to more solid food at this point.
Sounds like he has.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's just like, nah, prefer the boob, thank you.
Yeah. Well, she, like, that's up to her whether she wants to keep breastfeeding or not, but she still has to keep it all in, you know, what's the word? Level. He has to have the other food.
Balance. Right. So is this a case of a kid who thinks he's the king of the castle? And this is like, this is my house.
Yeah, well, I
you are here to entertain and play with me.
Well, we know what's wrong here. And I really always get very worried about saying this, but like, mom gives in.
Yeah.
Your kid is super clever.
He knows.
He knows.
If I do it enough, she'll eventually break.
You haven't stuck to your word once and or twice. I'm not assuming anything of you.
Yeah.
But he has figured you out.
Yeah, like, he they knows all it's do. Not a solid no.
Yeah. These kids are so clever. It's amazing.
Like, and annoying.
And annoying, but he's figured you out. He knows you don't really mean it when you say it, and he will just keep going till he gets what he wants.
Right. So that's the center of it. Mm-hmm. And like, what's so funny is, you know, when you say that, I am aware that I am that parent.
Yeah, you are.
Tina is so clear. Like, I don't say it's like training dogs, but on some level, a dog is so much happier knowing where they stand. And kids, there is a similar behavioral pattern in that they relax.
Well,
when
they
it's like,
feel,
that's out of the quest.
They absolutely feel safer when they know what's allowed of them. And their behavior is better when they know what the rules are.
Mm.
Because they're not in this kind of frazzled state of going, well, who knows what could happen.
So is two, just before two, 21 months this kid is,
right,
too young for family meeting on the rules?
Yeah, but... be so
sit cute. Down.
Be so cute. Well, also, like, he can't really be left playing on his own. He's so small.
Yeah, that's the independent play question of this. That we all ultimately want our kid to be able to go off and entertain themselves.
Of
it's
course,
very
you
healthy.
Can pop him in like a playpen or a pinned
a cage
pinned area.
Yeah, a pit.
But like, he's very small. Now, he should want to play, like, it would be really helpful for him to be using his imagination in play, but, like, he's tiny.
And this is where people wind up on screens, right?
Yes. And like, it sounds like she's not taking that out.
She's not taking that out, yeah.
Because more and more, I know I say it a lot, but, you know, kids are arriving into nursery in Montessori and they don't know how to play, and that is really, really tragic. And, I mean, blocks.
The moms need time to themselves. Like, I don't, I think you're saying you're right. She's a bit young for, you know, independent play. But, you know, this mom is probably trying to make the dinner. That's it.
Oh, absolutely. And there's ways around it. Like, you can pop them in their high chair with like a little puzzle, tabletop puzzle, Play-Doh. Unbelievable at this age. Yeah. Painting.
So
blocks
is that,
building.
Yeah, right. So now we're getting to it. So is Play-Doh like a toy where it's like, I want you to make this and surprise me.
Yeah.
Is that the way to encourage the independent play? It's like, go away, make this, and I want to see what you come back with.
Well, I would never actually say it
go
to
away.
The child. I would never talk about, oh, this is my plan, this is what I'm making you do, because they're so clever, they will just push against it if they don't want that. But what you have to do is you set up the game, you play it with them. Wait, just wait. They will get into the game. You fade out. When they look for you, you can come back in, play the game, and fade out.
So like Homer
but
into the head.
We should never be trying to just, like, that's it now, the play's over, I don't have to be there anymore.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, and also, like, using language like when he's crying for the boob, being like, of course, I know you love the milk, breast milk, mommy's boobie, but first we do this, then we do that. Mm. You know, just being very clear on this is happening first, then we do that. And actually, if he loves it that much, that's great leverage. And also make sure you're putting the food out on a tray where there's different options for him to just,
between the tapas.
You know, explore and eat whatever he wants, you know.
What's
and
the
there's
risk
no pressure.
Here, Tina, if she doesn't get on top of this?
Well, he's just getting bigger. He's getting more vocal and he's getting stronger. And she already said he's hitting out.
Mm.
Now, like, it's very sad that a tiny baby that age is already hitting out and hitting himself.
Mm.
So he is very frustrated. I'd imagine he has a lot to say. He has a lot on his mind. And maybe even just using like very simple now and next with him would be brilliant.
Right.
You know,
what does that look like?
You know, saying, you know, he's crying for his play, for mommy to play with him. All she has to do is go, now mommy's doing this. Next mommy will play with you. You know, now we're having dinner. Then you can have the boob, you know.
Yeah. And that's the calming thing that you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's very relaxing. It is so amazing when you introduced me to that, how often I then saw people getting in rows with their kids in public. And I would look to you and go, she didn't warn him.
Yeah, or
what
tell.
Was coming.
Yeah, didn't warn him or just.
Where we're going in the car.
Or
you're
hasn't
be expected
even explained
to
what's happening.
Yeah.
But like.
They take it in.
Yeah.
And it's calming for them.
It's totally calming. They know what's happening. like with the food thing, I definitely think she just needs to, you know, the tray with the different options. Definitely, if you're still able to breastfeed, that's an amazing thing you're doing for your child. No harm in that at all, but you have to be in control of that. I have controversially brought this up a few times. I know a lot of kids who were breastfed for way too long. And
yeah,
those
I'm not
kids
debate over what's too
general,
long.
Oh, I'm talking six and seven, eight.
Six and
yeah.
seven.
And I think those kids that I have met are some of the most entitled children I've ever met in my life. And all of them that I've met really treat their moms terribly. Like they're just there.
That may be a coinkydink.
Oh, yeah, I am. Like, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Be careful of how much you give over of yourself, because I've yet to see the gratitude for that.
It's so funny, isn't it, that the advice on the last question is clarity, you know, let them know where you stand, stick to your rules, no means no, have faith in that and everything will be okay. So simple, but so hard to do.
Well, even easier when they're that small, because you can use distraction all the time. It's when they get older, it's harder to just distract them out of a situation because they're so clued in. But at that age, it really, don't underestimate how quickly you can change their...
Look just, over here.
Or just by putting their hands...
What's this out the window?
Just turn on the tap and let them play in the sink. All of a sudden, they've moved completely by whatever it was. Or give them a brush and let them brush the floor.
I have never seen anybody distract a kid better than you. No, like kids who have burst themselves.
Yeah, well, I just, my heart breaks for them when they're sad like that or when they're frustrated. So I just want to get them out of that place as fast as I can. And you can do it.
You can teleport them somewhere else.
But anyone can do that. Anyone can do that. It's just knowing that just change their attention.
And game show host.
Yeah.
Tina is the best children's presenter I've ever seen.
But I'm at my happiest.
What is happening out here? I think I saw a fox.
I am honestly, that is me at
your
happiest.
Yeah.
I am at my happiest when I'm with the little kids.
Not to make the podcast weird, but you're looking fierce well today. Oh. Okay, Charlotte and Tina, I need some advice. Here we go. Now, this is a long one, lads. Strap in. I have a query on how to deal with this issue with my little girl who is just about to turn four. Her dad and I split up when she was 18 months. Oh. She doesn't have any memory of us being together, but she's aware that we once did all live together. Her time is split almost equally between us. She has recently been asking questions like, "Mum, why do you not want us all to live together?"
Oh.
And my dad says you wanted him to live somewhere else. Her dad and I have a civil co-parenting relationship, but we are not friends and there's a lot of hurt there.
Oh.
We don't spend time together, though I have suggested it and got no response from him. I know she feels all this, but I really don't know how to answer her questions in an appropriate way. When her dad has framed it to her as something I alone didn't want, there's no point in talking to him about it because he won't respond. I've said things like, we weren't very happy living together, even though we both loved you so much. And I thought it was better that we didn't live together. But then there's a lot of, but why? And all your help would be appreciated here. Thanks so much for all you do. And thanks so much, Tina. Just to add, she's having a lot of separation anxiety at creche and drop off, extreme clinginess, crying to both of us for the past couple of months. Change over time is usually through creche, except for one Sunday a fortnight when her dad drops her back to me. Yesterday, it took at least half an hour before she was comfortable with her dad leaving. It's okay when we have that time, but in the morning rush, it gets hard.
And it's a hard thing to say, but it's actually not in the child's interest to delay that changeover, because if they're upset, they're going to be upset anyway. So staying there, it's just making it harder. Like when we talked about last week, how we had a separation anxiety issue, but it wasn't actually Mikey, it was me. And only for my years and years of experience, like I remember you saying to me, Tina, you always say you have to drop and go. And I'm like, I know that. But it was still so hard for me to do it, because in those moments when your child is distressed, which our child wasn't, I was the one who was, it's really hard. It's really, really hard. But there are so many things we can, if we deal with that part first, the actual separation anxiety, there are really amazing tools the mom and dad can use. One of them is just having her having a job, something that she has to remember to give the other person. So her mind is somewhere else and she is on this task of having to hand over this thing.
As in when she gets to crèche.
Yeah.
Your first job is to get the mats out.
Exactly. You can get the teacher on board too. The teacher's really happy to see you. Or there's something in your hand. You're actually bringing in a book for the classroom that day. You have to actually give something over. And that is brilliant. I've seen that work so many times. Another one that I actually love, and a friend of mine used to do with her child, is you can just draw a little heart on their wrist or on their hand. And anytime they're missing you, they can look at it and know that mommy or daddy is still with you. Mm. Because I don't know this family, but I can only imagine that this whole separation and the anxiety and all the questions is coming from the place of, why can't my two favorite people in the world just be in the same house? And then I would be so happy. Now, she's only four, so she can't actually figure out what she's thinking. But emotionally, she just wants everyone in the house. There was a time when it was like that. Can we please just make that happen again? And like, that is so hard on the mom, especially when she doesn't have the dad's support. Yeah, and he's muddying the waters there, not being clear and just keeping his emotions out of it. You know, mommy's trying very hard to be like, this is how it is because of this. And then daddy's throwing a few, if your mother just let me stay there, we'd still all be together. That's very tough. So I think what they need, first of all, is a really big wall planner, either in the kitchen or downstairs. I mean, upstairs and or wherever they sleep. Then if you can try and convince daddy to have the same one at his house, that child needs to visually be able to see her routine on the wall. And whether you do that with pictures or if she can recognize your names, she needs to visually see where she is going to be every single day of the week. Whose house is she in? Then, as I said, she needs to have a job going to nursery, maybe the little heart, something to tell daddy when she sees him. Just you need to distract her so that she won't fall into those moments of absolute despair, which is what she's feeling. You know, whether we can get really frustrated when we see our kids behave like that, but she is just in despair in those moments. So we just need to try and not let her get there. Another thing you can do is those kind of worry stones. And, you know, that's her special stone in your pocket and she can take it out. And when she rubs it, she can think of mommy and mommy knows she's thinking of her. Now, because she's only four, a really useful tool at this age too is these beautiful stories like The Invisible String or No Matter What or Owl Babies. Owl Babies is actually the best one. Reminding your child, mommy and daddies have to go sometimes, but they will always come back. And I actually, when I was in touch with this mom, I was saying to her that throughout the day and at different moments, remind your child that mommy loves you and sometimes mommy has to go away, but what will mommy always do? Mommy always comes back. And just as you would a nursery rhyme when you're singing it with your child and you let them finish the sentence, you know, oh, MacDonald had a and they say farm. With that sentence, that statement, you need to be like, mommy goes, but what does mommy always do? She always comes back. And it's just planting that in your head, in their child's head, so that she's confident that, okay, I don't need to worry when I go to school. I get to just go in there and have fun with my friends. Mommy will always come back. Now, to do with the questions, that's really hard when it gets into the why spiral. But I really feel like mommy's doing a great job there. You are dealing in the
taking
truth.
The high ground.
You're also telling your child the truth. And that is really brave and really commendable. And that will help her feel safer. It will also help her understand. It is absolutely okay, though, in those moments to say, I'm not really sure how to answer that question right now. I'm going to think about that and come back to you with an answer later.
They'll never see that coming.
Yeah. Or it's okay to say, I guess I've never thought about that. I'm going to think about that a little bit more. Or thanks for asking me that. I love you so much. You're so kind. I wonder why. Just, you know, you don't have to. It's great to answer the questions head on, but it is okay to also be like, I'll come back to you later. I love that question. Thanks for checking in.
The temptation to say, Daddy says that you don't want us to live together.
The temptation to say, well, Daddy's also a bit of a bollocks.
Oh, I know, but...
be so...
I know, but...
great.
That little girl loves Mummy and Daddy just the same. Yeah. And the Mummy is really being...
But I, what I mean is, like, just like, if Dad is, you know, muddying the waters, I mean, it must be so hard not to go. That's a decision we both reached.
Yeah, I would really encourage her creche or her Montessori, whatever earlier setting she's in, to do a bit about families. Like, most places will do that, most earlier settings. But just for you, so your child can see the different types of family units, you know, different types.
Well, I hope that helps. We've got,
I hope so too.
We've got a lot more to talk about over on patreon.com/Irishmanofworld. Please, please, please pop over there, have a look around, take a couple of clicks. Got so much coming in the rest of 2024 for our members. Lots more benefits, trust me. You're going to want to be a member over there to enjoy everything that we have in store for you throughout the rest of the year. But you'll also get access to the back catalogue, the archive of Irishman Abroad episodes, Sonia O'Sullivan episodes, and of course Marion McKeown. If you feel overwhelmed by the America situation, no better woman than Marion McKeown to make sense of it every second Friday.
I also think the best thing about your America podcast is, especially for moms or dads who are stuck at home and feel like, oh God, I couldn't possibly go out and talk to grown-ups. I don't have a clue what I'm talking about because my life revolves around my child. That podcast keeps me up with the world in a way that is fun, but I also feel like, yeah, I can go anywhere and talk to anyone. I'm keeping up.
Yeah, 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 that's the thing. Distilling it down without any agenda.
Yeah. Vote guys, Joe Biden.
Thank you so much, guys. We'll see you over there on the other side on Patreon.